plateau, somewhere in Venezuela, South America. When Jack and Dot finished climbing, the great rope net, they traveled across the friendly prairie land in Bogota, when Jeremiah the Hermit built a fire, and then went into the bushes and presently returned with the freshly killed carcass of a small animal, which looked like a cross between a possum and a kangaroo. Cooked over the campfire, the meat was white and tender and succulent. And now, having eaten, the boys relaxed in front of the embers of the fire.
Oh, boy, that's what we've been through today. I could lay my head back and sleep like a baby.
Oh, listen, my boy. That's what night's for. I could do with a night of sleep myself.
Jeremiah, tell me something.
When everything starts out that way, maybe I can't answer you, but go ahead, Jack.
It's a 1,000-foot level plateau we're on now. The animals on it are distinctly of some ancient period in history.
That's right. You're certainly right about it.
Yet they're not anything like the animals we saw up on the great plateau itself.
True.
Well, I've been wondering if there's any design to this. I mean, in different places, we seem to find a different period in the history of animal life. And the same thing applies to human life. This afternoon, when we were climbing that spider web up the face of the cliff, we looked across and saw the cliff dwellers. Last time we were up here, we saw the ape men. And in another place, we saw signs of more advanced men. What I want to know is, what's the meaning of all this up here?
That I do not know. But as to the life on this plateau, I can tell you this much. The higher intelligence has taken it upon itself to perpetuate and keep to itself plant, animal, and human life in its various forms, down through the history of the world.
You mean there's actually living every stage of man's development from the beginning of the human being?
And the same with animal life and plant life. The table land we crossed today represents a definite period in the history of the world.
Yes, we've seen strange animals and plants, but nothing of human life.
Somewhere on this plateau is man in some stage of his development. If I'm not mistaken, man was a very ancient creature in this particular era.
Well, you don't know what period we're in.
No, I do not. But I must tell you that this whole great plateau is one vast museum of natural history. It's been kept for a complete record of the world. When all men shall be ready to receive such information.
Now, this higher intelligence doesn't seem to think that we're ready yet, sir.
Does it seem likely? With the world outside spending every bit of its time and effort and wealth and intelligence in finding new and more gruesome ways of destroying each other?
Yes, I get your point.
But you think the world's ever going to be any better than it is?
Yeah, I cannot say for that, but as it will grow better, or it will finally destroy itself completely.
And then what?
Where the last two civilized people out there in the world today have finally clawed each other to death, then I think it is likely that the higher intelligence will probably loose some of their finer specimens of mankind into the outer world and start a newer and better breed of human beings.
Well, very interesting. In other words, this lost plateau may be the place from which a new race of mankind will germinate sometime in the future.
Well, it has done in the past.
What's this?
How do you suppose the world was repopulated after the great continents of Atlantis sank beneath the ocean? Who do you suppose gave human life a new start after the continents of Rome was obliterated? Who gave man a new start when the great flood mentioned in the Bible swept human life from the earth?
You mean each time a higher intelligence up here on the lost plateau founded new humans on the earth?
The seed of man, like the seed of any cultivated crop, grows weak and puny and sterile in time and must be renewed from somewhere.
Doggone, Jack. Can you imagine lying out here by a campfire under the sky full of stars and listening to stuff like that?
Well, the monk who came to us and made the deal for this expedition said we were destined to come up here. He said our visit had been foretold in the stars long before we knew we were coming.
Yes, he said so. You can put your mind to rest, that is so.
You believe in foretelling the future by astrologers?
Oh, astrology is something people in the outside world monkey with and don't know what they're doing. So mostly I wouldn't put much faith in it myself.
Well, they claim to read the stars.
Claiming it and doing it are a couple of different matters. Those in a higher place claim nothing. They say nothing. They just go ahead and tell you what's going to happen when it's to your best advantage to know.
Oh, this is why these folks in the high place, Jeremiah.
I have never seen them.
Was this emissary that come to see us in Hollywood one of them?
I should judge from what you say that He might see some very important wise man on the outer fringe of the high place.
Oh, just sort of an office boy, you might say.
You might have said.
Sure, Ma. Look out there in the furnace.
Hey, somebody in a white robe. They're coming this way.
Crazy, now what?
You know who it is?
It's that minx of a girl in Uganda.
What's your name, Uganda? Hi, honey. Where the heck did you come from, and where you been?
Oh,
we'll help you, Uganda. What do you want us to do?
Come on, you want to show you the place?
No, just a minute, Uganda. I have my definite orders.
Oh, no, you must come with me. You must, I ask you to help me, future.
Well, you don't have to beg me, God, but if you're part of this, if I want to help you, Uganda, this is between you, Uganda, and Jeremiah. Let him talk.
You have been told us what it is you want, Uganda.
Oh, it was most terrible.
Black Lake in the middle of the night. What are we waiting for?